Galatians chapter 5, of course, our passage this morning speaks of walking by the Spirit. And so we get to some of the more practical passages here in the book of Galatians, and I think you're going to appreciate the messages in particular here out. I hope you've appreciated them so far, but these are extremely practical, these last several messages here in the book of Galatians. And we're going to go ahead and begin in Galatians chapter 5. And I know this was last time's passage. We're going to review it just a little bit, but let's begin reading in verse 13. We're going to go verses 13 through 18. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I want us to remember the context here. Often we read the passage, usually not with verse 18, but verses 16 and 17. We remove it from its context, and we never consider how it fits in with everything that he's been talking about. By the way, that's why expository preaching is so important. That's why it's so important to go through books, because we see the context of things. Sometimes you may sit under a ministry that is not expository. They just, one week they'll be in Galatians, the next week they'll be in Hebrews, and then the next week they'll be in Exodus, and the next week they'll be in Psalms, and there's no continuity. And I'm afraid that many times when that happens, we just don't see how the Bible books come together, or even how the entire context of a testament or a dispensation, or we don't see any of that when we don't take these in larger chunks than just here's the passage. And we have a tendency then to remove it from its context, and that's never good when we do that. So Paul has been dealing with the problem of adding law to grace throughout this book. That's what it's about. And last week in verses, or I'd say a couple weeks ago, in verses 13 through 15, we saw Paul confronting another problem with the Galatians, and that is the problem of theologically swinging from being under the law to living as a person pleases without restraint. So, again, the extreme, the pendulum. We as human beings, that often happens. You know, it goes from one side to the other. It swings from one end to the other. And as we said, liberty does not mean license. As Barclay wrote, the Christian is not the man who has become free to sin, but the man who, by the grace of God, has become free not to sin. You see, before we were under the burden of the law. So we see, first of all, an extreme to be avoided. Verse 13. Again, this is from last time. We're going to go through it quickly. For you were called to freedom, brethren. The Judaizers wanted to bring the Galatians back under the bondage of the law again. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. And the flesh here is talking about the old nature, the old tendency, or the old, the old disposition to sin and to oppose God. So the flesh here is our sinful human old nature with this desire for self-gratification. We talked about that last time, and that's going to be very significant to our passage today, so don't forget that. But through love, serve one another. So freedom is not a call to sin, but it's a call to loving servanthood to one another as believers. So an extreme to be avoided, a principle to be learned. Verse 14. It says in verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law, in other words, has found its full expression in a single word, in a statement, in a commandment. You shall love your neighbor as you already do yourself. This is a quote from Leviticus 19 and verse 18, and the Galatians had been encouraged by the Judaizers to adopt certain aspects of the law, and although Paul told them that the church is not under the law, he did not mean to imply that the law is worthless for the believer. Now look, we're not under any aspect of the Old Testament law, but as in anything in the Old Testament, are there things that we can learn from the law? Of course there are. There's certain things that can be applied, and one of those is you'll love your neighbor as yourself. That is taught throughout the law, by the way. The idea of loving one another. Obviously, if you truly love someone, you're not going to steal from them. If you truly love someone, you're not going to defraud them. If you truly love someone, you're not going to steal their wife and commit adultery with her. Real love expresses itself in obedience to the things that God gave. And although not dealt with here, keeping that law also expressed a love for God himself. Okay? So, but there are things that we can learn through the law. There's a principle to be learned, verse 14, and a problem to be confronted, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed by one another. So, in all of their disagreements that they were having, even if they solved the doctrinal issue, there still could be hard feelings. And Paul is saying, make sure there's not hard feelings. Don't do this because it's going to destroy you. And so all of this leads to our passage for this morning. Is there a way to be free from the Mosaic law as they were, as we are, and yet not live the wild, unrestrained life of the pagan world? Is there a way to do that? Is there a way to live a godly life without adding to the gospel and opposing some legalistic code upon man? And of course, that's what those who teach lordship salvation do. And a lot of them figure, you know, I'm going to do that because, you know, there's so many Christians living wild lifestyle, so I'm going to add something to the gospel. No, you don't. You don't fix something by breaking it further. You don't fix something by having the pendulum swing to the other side. Yes, there is a way to overcome that. There is a way that the flesh doesn't have to run wild. What is it? Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And that's his point here. So let's bring it into our own lives this morning. How can we live for God in this present evil world? How can I possibly live a holy life when I consider how evil my old nature is, my flesh is? Walk by the Spirit. That's how to do it. By the way, we've been talking about the flesh, and keep in mind here, this is the old nature we're talking about. But notice, as we get into verse 16, first of all, we see the command. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So the command. Notice it begins with, but I say. How were they to combat the kind of manifestation of the fleshly nature that we have in verse 15? Notice verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed by one another. So how can I avoid living a wild, sinful lifestyle? How can I avoid living a libertine lifestyle or biting and devouring one another, living carnally? How can I avoid that without submitting myself to what the Judaizers were telling them to do, or bring it into our own generation? How can we do that without submitting to the Reformed theologians that say, unless you make Jesus Lord of your life at salvation, he's not your Savior? How can we do that? Are we destined to live a wild lifestyle? Obviously not. Walk by the Spirit. And literally, it says walk by means of the Spirit. walk by means of the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk by means of the Spirit? How can we practically carry that out? I mean, we look at that and we say, oh, yeah, good. I need to walk by means of the Spirit. But what do? How do we carry this out in our lives? Walking is a very common New Testament idiom for how a person conducts his life or how he behaves on a daily basis. We call that walking. We're not talking, obviously, about physically walking, but we're talking about how we conduct ourselves. And I want you to notice when it says walk by means of the Spirit, it's a commandment. And the commandment here has a continuing idea. So literally, keep on walking by means of the Holy Spirit. Keep on walking by means of the Holy Spirit. This is a obligation that we have throughout our Christian lives. This is something that whatever it is, we're going to describe it more in just a minute, whatever it is, it's something that we need to constantly do. So we are to keep on living our daily lives by means of the Holy Spirit. It is only through the power of the third person of the Godhead that our behavior can be controlled. Well, you've got to make Jesus Lord of your life at salvation, and that's the only way. That's how you control your life. Well, you have to add law to grace. That's the only way that you can control a lot. No, it isn't. For the Christian, it's not about works-oriented salvation. It's not about bringing legalism into your life. For the Christian, it's all about walking by means, constantly walking by means of the Holy Spirit. It's in His power, not in the power of my flesh, not in the power of my promises. By the way, those that believe in Lordship salvation, remember now that I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. And if I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, how can God trust a promise that I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life before I'm even saved? I'm dead. Can you accept the promise of a dead person? I've got to be saved first. I've got to be given new life. It's called regeneration. I've got to be given new life. And then, you see, then I have the power to, and I have the Holy Spirit living within me. He changes my life after I'm saved. It doesn't happen before. It happens after. Don't put the cart before the horse. By the way, there is a related idea in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. You know what it says there? Be filled, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine. By the way, why does he say that? Because it is an illustration of like and like. Don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. When someone is drunk, they do things that don't come naturally to them. They do some pretty foolish things sometimes, some pretty stupid things, sometimes some illegal things. They do things that they shouldn't do. Maybe even they'll abuse family members. My grandfather was a drunk, sad to say. He ended up almost killing himself and got into a car accident, smashed up his car. And that did wake him up. I don't know if he ever came to know Christ or not. A long story there, but he did throw away the bottle after that, at least. But not sure if he ever came to know the Lord. But the bottle controls an individual. Controls them. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, or it's immoral. It's loose living. That happens too, doesn't it, with the bottle, okay? But instead, be filled. The word filled there means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So don't be controlled by the bottle, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So it's an illustration. People who are drunken are controlled by the bottle, and they do things that don't naturally come to them. By the way, that doesn't mean that drinking moderately is okay. That's not the point of that passage. Do not use that to prove that. You're reading into the text. Don't do that. Drinking is wrong in any amount, according to the Bible. I can demonstrate that to you at another time, okay? But don't be drunk when it's excess. But instead, be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. The man was, what? Filled with rage. What does that mean? He was controlled by his anger. See? Filled. By the way, the New Testament uses that same kind of terminology, right? So don't be controlled by the bottle, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. All right, so that's what Ephesians 5:18 says. Similar idea here. Here it says, and by the way, in Ephesians 5:18, literally, be being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be being constantly controlled by the Holy Spirit. Here in Galatians, it just says very plainly here, walk by means of the Spirit. Now, a little bit different, but again, still the idea is very similar. Ephesians 5:18 is control. Galatians chapter 5 here is that of walking by means of it. Let me give you an illustration. I remember some years ago spraining my ankle. In fact, I've done that quite often throughout my life. But I remember one time going down in the basement, and the young man who was my youth pastor at the time, there were some games and things that the youth were playing. And one was turned upside down. It was like a wooden, I don't remember if it was, I think it was a tennis, table tennis table, ping pong table. And it was turned upside down. And I went downstairs in the dark, and I remember twisting my ankle on that thing. Oh, that was not fun. And I believe that next Sunday I was on a crutch. I was on crutches. Had to wait till that ankle healed. And what did I do? When I walked, I had to walk by means of the crutches. What does that mean? I leaned on them. I depended on them. If I didn't have those, I wouldn't have been walking very far, or I wouldn't have been walking very far comfortably. Let's put it that way. I had to walk by means of the crutch. And so when the idea comes across, walk by means of the Spirit, live by means of the Spirit, what that means is we daily, constantly need to live in dependence on the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. See, the illustration brings that across for us very well. Oh, they're working next door, I guess. Sorry about that. I thought, what on earth is that sound? Somebody's grinding something. So walk by means of the Spirit. We are not to submit to the control of the flesh, but the control of the Spirit. We are to live constantly in yieldedness and obedience to and trust in and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Notice, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If we want to live a holy life to the glory of God, we need to understand that walking by means of the Spirit and carrying out the desires of the flesh are mutually exclusive. You can't do both at the same time. I mean, think about it. If we constantly live by means of the Spirit, then how on earth can we carry out the desire of the flesh? If I'm constantly depending on the Lord, if I'm walking with Him, if I have a dependence and a love relationship with Jesus Christ and I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit, walking by means of the Spirit, at the same time, there is no way that I'm going to be depending on my flesh and carrying out, doing whatever I please. The two are mutually exclusive. If I am submitted to, controlled by, dependent on the Spirit, I can't at the same time be fulfilling my fleshly lusts. It can't happen. The concept is very simple. Sinful desires are combated by walking by the Spirit. So you say, man, I've got a real problem with sin in my life. Walk by means of the Spirit. You say, well, that's just too simple. Well, you can't do both. You can't walk by means of the Spirit, depend on your Lord every single day, and be living the way you please. The two are mutually exclusive. So obviously, you're doing one or the other. You say, well, I just can't seem to walk by means of the Spirit. Why? Well, there's a simple reason for that. You're depending on your flesh. You are doing what your flesh wants you to do. And that's wrong. That's sinful. All right, so the command, and then notice in verse 17 the reason. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So the reason should be obvious. Because the flesh is so contrary to the Spirit, and my new nature, actually, it's contrary to that too. This is not talking about the new nature, but I have now, once I got saved, I received a new disposition. My old disposition, my old nature, was to do what was wrong. That was my leaning back then. Of course, I still have that. It hasn't changed. But now I have a new disposition to serve God and to do what's right. When I get saved, my desires change. Now, I've got an old nature, I've got a new nature. And by the way, the old nature doesn't get any better throughout your life. It's just as wicked and godless as it has ever been. But I can feed that new nature, and I can have it to the point where I'm holding that old nature in check to the best of my ability. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit lives within me, and He helps me with all of this. And in the passage today, it's not so much talking about the old nature and the new nature. It's talking about my old nature and the Holy Spirit controlling my life. The Holy Spirit depending on Him so that I can keep that old nature in check. So the reason, because the flesh is so contrary to the Holy Spirit, if I am constantly yielding and following and obeying and depending on the Holy Spirit, I will not be carrying out the desires of my flesh. Again, I can't carry out that battle by myself. That's why it says depend on the Spirit. And remember, the flesh is not sanctified once you believe. The flesh doesn't become any better throughout your life. Well, I'm a Christian, now my flesh is better. No, it's just as wicked and evil as it is the day you were born. It really is. And it says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. The NET Bible puts it this way. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit. And the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. Okay? Let me read that again. For the flesh has desires, my old nature has desires that are opposed to the Spirit. No doubt about that. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has desires that are opposed to the flesh. Yes, they do. Both, that is true. The flesh desires to master our lives. And the Holy Spirit also desires to master our lives, doesn't He? The flesh desires to send us in one direction, and that is the direction of self-fulfillment, of doing what you please. That's what our flesh wants us to do. And the Holy Spirit desires to have us go in another direction. And why? Because He wants us to glorify God. So here's the flesh pulling us this way, saying, I want you to do what? Self-fulfillment. Do what feels right. You know? Something you see on television all the time, follow your heart. The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? If I follow my heart, you know where that's going to take me, don't you? Down the wrong road. But people today, follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. Follow your Bible. Follow what the Word of God tells you. We even have to be careful about the statement, let your conscience be your guide. Let your Bible be your guide. Now the conscience, if the conscience is attuned to the Bible, it's not too bad. It can be a helpful thing. But it's not 100% accurate either. But the Bible is. Follow the Word of God. So here's the flesh. Ugh. The flesh has desires. The spirit has desires. I want you to fulfill what you want, your flesh says. The Holy Spirit desires to have us go in another direction so as to live and glorify Him. And then the text says, for these are in opposition to one another. The word opposition means to be opposed, hostile to, in opposition to. We have a hostile battle waging war within us. And again, this does not specifically refer to the conflict between the two natures, but the conflict between the old nature and the person of the Holy Spirit here at this point. The picture is that here of a tug of war. Paul is not saying that the flesh and the spirit are equals. You know, when we think of a tug of war, we think, oh, you know, equals, trying to pull, and, you know, the tug of war, if the person's stronger, maybe this person's stronger, they go back and forth, and, oh, finally one team wins, okay, or one person wins. Paul is not saying that the flesh and the spirit are equals, since the Holy Spirit is infinitely stronger than our flesh. But if we rely on our own wisdom and our own power, we will fail. See, the problem is not that the Holy Spirit's not strong enough. The problem is sometimes we don't lean on Him like we should. That's the issue. We can only win this tug of war within us as we walk by means of the Holy Spirit. Just like walking by means of those crutches, we need to walk by means of the Holy Spirit so that you may not do the things that you please, the text says. Isn't that so often the result? Look at verse 17 again. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. And that is often the result. We do things that we really deep down don't want to do. We often, I mean, in our heart of hearts, as regenerated men and women, there are some things we know that we shouldn't do, and sometimes we give in to the old nature, don't we? And we think, how stupid I was. Why was I so stupid to give into the old nature? But all of us have done it. All of us have. Deep down, God places a desire to do what's right in every single believer. And by the way, if it's not there, if you could say, I don't have that in my heart, then you have to really wonder, are you born again? You really need to check your own heart and discover, are you saved? Are you genuinely born again? Because that's not usual for a believer, that's for sure. So this conflict raging inside of us can keep us as believers from doing what we would otherwise desire to do. That is, if we do not stay on our toes and walk by means of the Spirit. When we do not walk in the Spirit, we are giving the flesh an occasion to dominate our lives. And we can't do that. We need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So many people, though, walk by means of the Spirit, or walk by means of their flesh. They give in to the old nature. They think to themselves, well, I'm going to live the way I want to. Or, you know what, I can always confess this sin later, I'll just do it now. Many times Christians walk in their flesh. I'll go ahead and I'll nurse this feeling of anger towards this other person. This feeling of bitterness I have. I'll go ahead and I'll, I know I probably shouldn't be doing this particular thing or this particular habit, but that's okay. No, it's not okay. Walk by means of the Spirit. And when we are giving into those things, we can be assured that we are not walking in dependence on the Holy Spirit. We are depending on our flesh. We cannot do that. Thomas Constable has some interesting observations about this passage as compared to Romans 7. Now, Romans 7, Paul describes that conflict within himself, but there's a difference between Romans 7 and what is written here in Galatians chapter 5. Constable sets it out this way. Excellent. Listen, the conflict described in this verse and in verses 16 through 23 is not the same as that presented in Romans 7, 13 through 24. The opponents of the sinful nature are different. In Galatians, it is the Holy Spirit. But in Romans, it is the whole regenerated individual. The condition of the believer is also different. In Galatians, Paul saw him as under law or grace, but in Romans, he viewed him as under law only. Furthermore, the results of the conflict are different. In Galatians, there may be defeat or victory. That's what we're talking about here. But in Romans, defeat is inevitable. Finally, the nature of the conflict is different. In Galatians, it is normal Christian experience, but in Romans, it is abnormal. So, good contrast between the two passages. But notice here, it's the normal Christian experience. We will fight this all of our lives, and we must, on a daily basis, walk by means in dependence on the Holy Spirit. And then we see in verse 18, finally, the summary. The summary. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you, in other words, assume true for the sake of argument, the way that they say things in Greek, if statements mean different things. This one here means it. He's going to assume it that it is true for the sake of argument. Okay? So, assuming, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not led. The idea there is you are not continually led. If you are led, but if you are led, continually led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. A person who is led by the Spirit of God. And I think that the text indicates that Paul believes that every Christian is, okay? But a person who is led by the Holy Spirit shows that he is obviously born again and is obviously no longer under the law. The Galatians have no reason to place themselves back under the system of the law again. No reason. So the Spirit leads us. The only question is, are we following? The Spirit leads us, but the question is, are we following? There is no neutral ground. We are either walking by means of the Spirit, or we will be unable to resist the desires of the flesh. What is it going to be, Christian? And what is it for you? These Galatian believers needed to realize that a Christian cannot overcome the flesh by putting himself under the law. Turning over a new leaf for the new year. You know, I'm going to be under that. You know, in a sense, that's putting yourself under a law either that, you know, it's all right to make a promise, but it better be in the power of the Holy Spirit. It better be in dependence on Him, not in dependence on your flesh, because that's not going to get you anywhere. So a Christian cannot overcome the flesh by putting himself under the law, but only by walking by the Spirit of God. So do you feel defeated by the flesh? Maybe there's a reason. Are you walking by means of the Spirit? And this means that we will be surrendered to His will, living to God's glory, fellowshipping daily with Him in His Word every day and in prayer. Spreading the good news of the gospel to others, actively involved in His service. How about it, Christian? Where are you right now in relationship to the things that we've seen in the passage today? Are you walking by means of the Holy Spirit?